Jeremiah chapter 13. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meal offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king, and I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meal offering and the frankincense. Let's go down to verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and laden asses, as also wine and grapes and figs and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, in charge that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. For did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God and marry strange wives? And the son of the sons, one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O God, O my God, for good. God's people at this time are found doing what we have come together for today, to be over the Word of God. That's a good thing. I hope none of us find it difficult to be over the Word of God. It's so full of encouragement, blessing, and wisdom for the pathway. I don't think it was a mistake that they happened to read this portion. Where is it in Deuteronomy? That the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Now that scripture had been there for hundreds of years. It wasn't a brand new scripture. It was in the book of Moses. They had that for a long time, where God told them he didn't want the Ammonite or the Moabite in the congregation. Now some may argue, well, what's wrong with that? You know, there are relatives. They were Lot's children. And Lot walked with Abraham for many years. What's wrong with the Ammonites and the Moabites? Apparently they felt so little wrong about it that they were part of this company of God's people here in the book of Nehemiah. And this company of whom we are reading were a particular company. God had gathered them out, brought them back from their scattered position, and had exercised some among them to have an altar so that they could worship the Lord. And then, as God himself would develop the work, he exercised them to build this wall around Jerusalem so that he could separate those people, have a visible, a very real separation between the people and the outside. And here we read that they shouldn't have the Ammonite or the Moabite there, but they were there. They were there. It encouraged my heart to see the exercise of God's people in that day. When they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Could it be that these people that God gathered out from division, from the nations around, that he gave them a place where they could worship him, that he built this wall of separation for them? Could it be that some from the outside were among them? It's very clear that it was. They separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Dear brethren, God doesn't like mixtures. We may find it, for one reason or another, they're relatives. Their great-grandfather used to be in fellowship with us. We can make all these reasons, but it's a mixed multitude. And if we would act according to the mind of God, we would separate ourselves from this mixture. You know, we find this mixture increasing among us today. There are those who've left the path of separation. There are those who don't care about the truth, as God has in some measure laid it in our hearts, and they've left the path, and we have fellowship with them just like they're one of us. But they aren't one of us. They've left the path. Lot left the path a long time ago. We know that God can act in grace, and he certainly does. We rejoice about the story of Ruth, but there was one who God worked in her heart, and she made the God of Israel her God, and God honored her, and she's in the line of faith. So we're not talking about those kind of Moabites. We're talking about those who would mix among God's people and don't care to walk in the truth that God has made known to you and I. And when we allow that, we could say, well, what harm is there in that? Well, what happened here? Chief men, the priest, he was in special association with an outsider. Tobiah was a known enemy of God's people. And here the priest had a place for this enemy of God's people right in the temple. It could be, it may not have happened if that general feeling of indifference to mixing with those who didn't walk in the path as they did wasn't prevalent. But you see what happens when we allow those things to come among us, and more serious things develop. Because it says, and before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house, our God, was allied unto Tobiah. Before they had read those scriptures, and perhaps that's why God ordered that those scriptures should be read. I don't think that the Lord brings before us portions that we don't need. The Lord knew that Tobiah had to be dealt with, and first he would exercise the hearts of all the people. You know, if we come from an assembly where there's difficulties, and there are, there must be a wholesome exercise on the part of all those in the assembly before some of these larger issues can be handled. And and it's sad, he threw out some of the things. He did away with some of the things in the temple there to make room for Tobias' stuff. I am so thankful when I read this story to see the courage that Nehemiah had. He took all his stuff and threw it out. That's all it was, stuff. We don't want to clog our assemblies with things that really drag us down, that displace things that ought to be there. Isn't it sad that this took place when Nehemiah wasn't there? He wasn't there because he tells us that in the sixth verse that he had to go back to the king. Judah was, this remnant was not really owned of God yet. He still watched over them, took care of them, but they were subservient to an authority that God put over them. And Nehemiah had to go back to his boss, should we say, to the king, and do his service. And it was during that time that Eliashib moved Tobiah into the temple. Do we, in our assemblies, have certain things that we'd like to see come about, and we wait for a spiritual brother or sister to be away before we bring it out into the open? Do we practice that in our care meetings? We know there's a brother there with an honest exercise before the Lord, and he constantly sits on this thing. And the minute he's gone, you push it through. That's what happened here. Who did it? The high priest. The leader. He's the one who did it. He got Tobias' stuff in there. Why? Because Nehemiah was gone. He saw his chance, and he did it. Awful state, dear brethren, to fall into. If we know that someone has an exercise before the Lord to do something or not to do something, may God give us the grace to bow to it. The only one who was right was Nehemiah. Well, he came back and he saw it and he threw it all out. That takes courage. That takes real grace. That takes spiritual fortitude to do the right thing when everybody else was carelessly looking over it. Why, what could they say to Eliashib? They were having fun with the fellowship, having them over for a meal, sleeping them overnight in their house, whatever you want to call it, letting their children play with their children. They were doing everything themselves wrong. How could they say, now, wait a minute, Eliashib, you've gone too far. You see, when we allow weakness, it weakens us further. And God has written these things for our instruction. And there's dear Nehemiah. I take it that he felt these things. It says in verse 8, it grieved him sore. What? Only Nehemiah had this exercise? There may have been others, but God was using this man, and he tells us what his feelings were. Grieved him sore. Does it grieve us to see error creeping into the assembly? Does it grieve us to see the world creeping into the assembly? It says it grieved him sore. But he did something about it, and he cleansed the chambers. We've got to cleanse the chambers, dear brethren. We've got to cleanse the chambers. Throw out what doesn't belong there, and cleanse the chambers. I heard of a brother who was exercised about having a television in his living room. So you know what he did? He put it in his bedroom. I've heard of someone else who had it in a conspicuous place in the house, and they put it down in the basement. We find in this chapter that things weren't quite right. And when Nehemiah sought to exercise himself in the fear of the Lord and bring the people back to God and to his word, that there was a resistance. They were doing things on the Lord's Day they shouldn't do, on the Sabbath, if you will, here. And he knew that there was a certain behavior for God's people on the Sabbath day. Do all of us know that there's a certain behavior for God's people, not on the Sabbath day, but on the Lord's Day? And he tried to straighten things up. They were acting like it was just an ordinary day, going about their business. And some who were interfering, it says they set up their wares outside the gate. It's not enough, dear brethren, to put something in your bedroom, in your basement, get rid of it. And Nehemiah knew the danger of that thing. He says, next time I find you outside the gate trying to sell wares, well, he was a governor. He had a whole lot of authority. But he told him, I'm going to do something about it. And they knew he meant it. But even that should be a lesson to us. Do our brethren know we mean what we say? Or do we speak in such a way as, well, you ought to do it? You ought to do it because it's pleasing to the Lord. We ought to do things because it's honoring to him. That's why we do things. May God give us to be positive in our faithfulness with one another. And again, in verse 14, I see him feeling things. He says, remember me, oh my God. He was the governor. A lot of responsibility was on his shoulders, but he felt the load of it. And if we're going to be a help among God's people, in whatever position we are, we ought to feel the load of these things. It's a real thing to get up and bring before God's people their walk and ways. And that's what Nehemiah was doing here, one thing after the other. Oh, how quickly things go downhill, faster than we have any idea. He'd gone to be to do his service to the king just a short while, and he came back, he who was so instrumental, almost single-handedly seeing that the wall of Jerusalem was built, and he sees all this error. The temple being violated, the Sabbath being violated, and he felt these things. So he puts those in charge to watch the gates. And you know, in this day in which we live, we need to be very careful about watching the gates. I remember a long time ago when we began to be devastated with those who are younger leaving the path, and other things coming in, and groups leaving the testimony. And some of us were speaking, and we couldn't understand why was this happening. And it was suggested that perhaps we received too quickly at the Lord's table. Nehemiah had that feeling. He put people there to watch the gates. Let's see. Let's be very careful what we bring around the Lord's table, because it is his table. Well, in verse 23, this man of God is looking around, and he notices Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And the children, they speak half in the speech of Ashdod, and doesn't say in half in the speech of the Hebrews. just said half of the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language. Do these associations have an effect? Oh, they certainly do. This time, what's being brought before us in verse 3, it might have just been friendships, courtesies being extended. But because of that association, it got worse. Wickedness doesn't get better. Evil doesn't get better if you leave it unjudged. We must do something about it. And it got worse, and now we find that they were marrying. Oh, how much closer could they get to that which was contrary to the mind of God? Impossible. They were right there, mixed up in it. And it had an effect on their children. Isn't it our desire that the young people go on for the Lord? But if we bring into our families those things that are destructive to their spiritual good, be sure we're going to suffer for it. And here, they were speaking half in the language of Ashdod. Perhaps that's religious iniquity. Ammon and Moab might be our friends, our family relationships, but if they're not going on with the Lord like we are, it's going to drag us down. And so they had children who couldn't speak in the Jews' language. And that said, you can tell by the way those children behave themselves that something was wrong. Maybe their kids didn't dress the same. How about it? Christian father and mother, do your children dress as Christian children should? It was half and half now. You know, for meeting, we'll dress one way, and then if we see you in the mall, you're dressed another way. What? It's not the Jews' language, though. It's not according to the mind of God. But that's the natural result. If we're having fellowship with those who don't want to walk in the path with us, those who've left the path, those who've been disciplined, have we not seen God's dear people hug and embrace those who have been put away from the Lord's table and treat them like they're one? God doesn't like mixed multitudes. And he gave these folks here the grace to separate themselves. Must have hurt, because an Ammonite would come and say to this Jewish family, well, how come you're not inviting us over for a meal anymore? You know what they had to say? We read in the Word of God that we can't have fellowship with you anymore, that we ought not, until you fear the Lord our God like we do. Is that the conversation that we have when we talk with those? Or do we treat our wrong associations with a careless indifference and call it love? The Word of God tells us how we ought to behave. Let's not turn it around. And here it says they spake according to the language of each people, but not the Jews' language. Another thing that's creeping in among us, and I say this carefully and fearfully, that we hear folks addressing the Lord as you. Have you ever heard that? I don't know. They certainly didn't get it from the beautiful hymn book that God has given us. It says, thou art the everlasting Word. Thee we worship. Thee we honor. Thee adore. Where do you get you from? Is that all you think of our God, of our Lord, of our Savior? We address the Lord indifferently. Where does that come from? It must come from associations that are weakening us. It doesn't come from this blessed book. I hope everyone here is using the King James Version. We may have a helpful translation in our Bible cases if we carry them. But do you feel more comfortable with a translation that those who are not walking in the path with us are using? Is that where you get this kind of language from? It's very evident the Word of God tells us that it was because of a bad mixture, something that they let in. And it's careful to tell us they spoke in each language, but it wasn't the Jews' language. Have we not walked with the Lord enough years to recognize that there's a way to address God, to speak to God, to honor Him in our prayers, in our praises, in our worship? Well, it affected Nehemiah. He contended with them. He cursed them. He smote them. My, did he act in a strong way. But he had the authority. Today, these things, this action can only be taken, I feel, as assembly actions. These believers here there's nothing left for them. God had brought them back, gathered them out, and established them in Jerusalem, separated them from all that would be contrary to their going on for Him. And the only thing that lay before them now was the coming of the Lord. That's all they had to wait for now, the coming of the Lord. There had to be Jews in the land for the Lord to come, to see what response they would give to Him. We know what the response was. And maybe some 400 years went on before the Lord finally came. And it seems like the numbers may have diminished. But there was Anna in the temple. There was Simeon there. There was a Nathanael. There was a Peter and a John and others that were waiting for the Messiah to come. And there will be a testimony of those who want to serve the Lord and wait in faithfulness for Him to come. Will we be among the number? Well, Nehemiah was exercised about the things in his time. And again, it seems like it really cost him something to do it. And he says again in the end of the chapter, "Remember me, O God." Do you think the Lord heard that dear man's prayer? You think He heard him? I was pondering about that, reading this some time ago. And then it dawned on me, of course He heard him. Nehemiah's book is in the Word of God. Instantly He heard him. Instantly He recorded that man's exercises. And so we should encourage ourselves in the Lord. Feel these things, dear brethren, and seek to walk in faithfulness to the Lord. Encourage your heart in the Lord, and He'll bless you and help you, and perhaps bring a reviving, that some of these things might be chased from His presence and from His table.